The following presentation, Making the Most of the Janet Telephony Framework, a User Experience, was given by Matthew Marl of Pembrokeshire College at NetWorkshop 42 in April 2014.
So I would now like to introduce Matthew Marl from Pembroke, who will be talking to us about their experience of going through that process. Matthew is currently the IT manager covering the full range of ICT issues for the college. And if he didn't have enough of juggling multiple issues and trying to get things lined up in his working day, he also farms a small flock of sheep. And has joined us in the middle of lambing, which is a sacrifice we greatly appreciate. So over to Matthew. Thank you. Let's see if we can bring up your slides. There we go.
Right, well, welcome. And basically, as you can see, I'm just going to run through a quick sort of experience of implementing and using the Janet Telephony Framework. Pembrokeshire College is down in West Wales, and it is it's a medium-sized FE college, which is a minnow in terms of a lot of the institutions you guys are working at. We have about 4,500 FTEs, FTE students, as a sort of gauge of size. So it is there is a reasonable amount of people there. But one of the advantages of that environment is that I've got responsibility for both the network and telephony. And obviously that has meant that we could take advantage of this sort of service quite quickly and be on the sort of front of the curve, because there's no issues of engagement between estates and IT or telephony, depending on what your institution is doing. So that's very handy. I have to say that I'm a previous student of Leeds University, so there's a real nostalgia standing up here at the other end of the thing. But I don't think this place was built when I came. I was in the Roger Stevens building. Right. So let's just take you through. I've also never lectured in such a large theatre. Okay, the infrastructure. So basically, we are an institution, like I say, we've had joint responsibility for IT and comms for quite a long time. So many years ago, we made the transition over to IP telephony. So we have had an IP telephony network for quite a while. Now, this presentation isn't anything about that, okay? What I did last time I talked about this was I had a flip chart, but I couldn't find a flip chart this morning, which just demonstrated that with any telephone system, you have your PBX, as it were. So in our case, our call manager, which is an IP version of a PBX. And then you have the gateway out to the wide world. Okay, so it's the gateway that we're talking about now, today. And is there 10 minutes on there or 15? Okay, lovely. Okay, so we're going to speed up a little bit. So we had an old Cisco 2600 router, okay, which was bridging out to our ISDN with a standard plain old telephony solution. We had 30 ISDN channels with 500 DDI numbers, which we were renting from a commercial company. Okay, so that seemed to be costing us quite a lot of money. Now, over a number of years, the idea of SIP is not a new thing. And I've been kind of waiting for it to become something that was a viable option. Now, from my point of view as an IT manager, the BT system, or the ISDN-based system, was expensive, but it wasn't something that, if it went wrong, that I would have any, it would come back to me that there was a problem. Whereas moving to SIP, obviously it makes some money savings, but the responsibility effectively for that continuity of service would fall back on our department's shoulders. So I was very keen to make sure that we used a service which we could fall back on ourselves. So effectively, by using Janet, you've got that fallback position of saying, well, this is a UK-wide university and an FE college supporting institution. If we can't get our quality, if we have a problem with that, then I've made all the reassurances that that I possibly could in order to say that we're going to get a good quality of service. Now, touch wood, to this point, we have had not a single issue. Okay, so long may that continue. You can see on the slide there, we had a very old gateway. We were using a 2600 with an ISDN line card in it, a bridge card in it. So as part of the cost analysis, we included a new gateway. Okay, it was only a single gateway, and I'll talk about resilience a little bit further down the line, but we weren't trying to bring resilience to the network. We just wanted to switch from an existing service to another service with a similar level of resilience. Like I say, we are at the end of the line. We're at the end of the Janet network. The trains get to Milford Haven, and then they turn around on the same track and go back again. It's very like that. So we have only got a single point of presence onto the Janet network, and we've got a single gateway, and we do have single SIP channels now, whereas you can get dual channels where you can get your SIP presence coming from two or more of your Janet connections if you require that sort of resilience. Okay. So the potential savings. We were paying about £540 per month for our 30 ISDN channels and 500 DDI numbers, which I seem to be because we quite a lot. The SIP provider, when we did the analysis, we were looking at £150 per month and significantly cheaper mobile and national calls. And so there's a quick graph there. I won't labour on it. Basically, the savings are roughly 55% of the cost of our calls. And I'm just talking about the calls, the DDIs, the 500 DDIs. We still have some standard telephony circuits for our lifts and things like that. But for that batch of phone calls, we were paying just short of 12,000, and we projected it at just over 5,000 per annum going forward. You can see that in this year one cost, you've got the inclusion of the new Cisco 2900 router, and we had it fully installed, so there we are. So that cost was borne, and we still made a saving this year. Additionally to that, we kept maintenance on that router, and the maintenance costs are included in there. So we tried to make the whole thing so that it is like for like. It's exactly what we were looking at before. In fact, we didn't include the maintenance costs for our old 2600 router in our original costs. So it's an added cost, if you like. It's included. So 55%, about £5,500 per year. And our projections have been very accurate to date. So that's how it looks. Okay. Now, the procurement experience was a real nightmare, and I know this is a techno conference, but this was, well, a rather smarter version of me, in about May last year. So we got outline pricing in January 2013. I went to the procurement guys and said, we want to do this, we want to save some money, but it has to go through the Janet network because we want to have that 2 points of presence, and we need that reassurance that we're going to get a decent quality of service out of our SIP installation. Okay? And they came back and said, well, what framework are you using? And we said, oh, we're using the Janet framework. And they went to Janet and said, well, there isn't a framework. You'll have to use CPC or something like that. So what was being proffered was that we would have to go to 20 suppliers, 18 of which weren't actually on the Janet system at all, and they weren't sort of didn't have the tick, and we were stuck there. So it was very timely that the procurement framework was actually just coming into being. And although it's a much wider framework than just what I'm talking about, you can do all sorts of telephony with it, for our purposes, it was absolutely excellent. Okay, we wrote the specification, we forwarded it to Janet, and basically they went through the process of going out to tender, getting the responses. They dealt with the procurement queries, we dealt with the technical queries, and it was a straightforward, and most importantly, it was auditable. Our procurement people were happy. Okay, I've talked about resilience and disaster recovery. What we did do in terms of disaster recovery was an improvement on what we had before. we're very generous as a college, so we spent £16.99 per month allowing us to nominate our main switchboard number to be forwarded to the estate's mobile phone. And I'm not sure that the estates manager has actually told his estates force that, that they might start getting all the calls from reception yet. But anyway, what it does demonstrate is that if we do have a problem with the service, in the old days, BT would do a sort of best efforts. They wouldn't seem to treat you any differently than if you were phoning from your house in terms of the fact that you had a staff of 700 who couldn't actually make any phone calls, and they'd pop down from Carmarthen when they'd finished their cuppa or whatever. Whereas now you can get a straight switch over, at least of one number, so that we can maintain a presence in the telephony space. Okay, quality of service, very quickly. Well, in our environment, I would contextualise that. You must configure QS on the network. FE environment, probably a much lower scale. When I came, I did this presentation, if anybody has seen it before, I apologise, back in January for USISA, but it became evident there that some institutions are quite happy not to provide quality of service on the same basis that Janet do, that they've got enough bandwidth to not have to worry about it. Well, in our case, we don't feel that we have that. We've got iSCSI data going across the network. We've got an iSCSI SAN, which is basically an Ethernet SAN. So our network is pretty congested. So QoS was a must. And I think if anyone's got a Cisco network, then auto QoS is a great little command, which does most of it for you. Okay, we also had a dedicated firewall interface, and that dedicated firewall interface, we got a 20-port FortiGate, 2 FortiGates, and we had 2 accelerated ports on there, one of which we've been using for the video conferencing. So we were happy with that. We never have any quality of service issues with that. It's been there for years. So we just added the SIP telephony to that. So that basically allowed us to continue that quality of service all the way to the edge of the network and away. And it has, there has been no issues. We had no max headroom. A lot of people said, oh, you implement SIP and you'll find that the voice calls sound, that the sound quality will go down discernibly. What has actually happened is that nobody really knew anything about this until they found out that I was presenting, and then they wondered what all the fuss was about. So that's a great outcome, really. Very quickly, the switch over. If you're going to go for this, just make sure the when we got the pre-sales was very good. The actual project management wasn't fantastic from the supplier. Make sure that if you go for a half term or a break to do this, that the work is booked in time, because ours actually went over. Make sure your firewall doesn't groom the SIP packets. Our firewall had some native SIP relationships where it just changed the ports so that the SIP was coming in from one to another. And that causes a few issues in the first 2 hours of implementing it. But otherwise smooth, and no QS issues, which was the big issue that I was really wondering whether I'd fail with. Okay, and then we're just going to move on and look at the mobile piece, so whether we can get a mobile contract that allows us free calls between the two. Okay.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Does anyone have a quick question for Matthew?
Hi, Andrew Menzies, St Mary's University, Twickenham. Were you able to transfer your existing DDIs to the new service?
Yes.
Okay.
So that really was a quick question. We've got time for one more. No, in which case, please join me in thanking you for that talk.
Thank you very much.
This recording was brought to you by Janet Training as part of NetWorkshop Online. Further information is available on our website at www.ja.net/training.